So this week, I was at my desk one day, and Irene texted me. And I don't know if that's when she texted me, but that's when I read her message. And she said, "Oh, I'm listening to the sermon. You should listen to it." And I love how God works in his ways and gives you exactly what you need to hear at that exact moment of your life. And I love how, you know, you go through the efforts of prepping a sermon throughout the week, and then you show up here on Sabbath morning, and the songs match up with the theme of your message. And it makes me very happy to be here, because as you go through life and you have different worries or different things, you know that the one place or the one thing that you do in life is serving God is the thing that it takes away all these other worries and takes away all these other things that you deal with. So I'm excited to be here. I promise I'll keep it short and sweet. shooting for around 11 minutes and 23 seconds. So I'm going to start off with a little story that I heard after I listened to Irene's, well, not her sermon, but the sermon she sent me to listen to. I started listening to others. And this pastor read the story, and I'd like to read you that story that he read in one of his. And it says, "Have you ever heard the story of the farmer who was discouraged with this farm that he decided to sell it? So this farmer hires a realtor to put it on the market, and the realtor writes up an ad of the description. And before she posted it, she wanted the farmer to approve it. So she called him up. He's like, "Hey, I need you to listen to the ad, see if you like it." And the ad reads, "Oh, it's a great location, a well-maintained home, sturdy barns, lush pastures, a beautiful pond, fertile soil, and a great view." And the farmer says, "Hold on, read that to me again, but slower." So the realtor says, "Great location, a well-maintained house, sturdy barns, lush pastures, a beautiful pond, fertile soil, and a great view." And the farmer says, "Wait, never mind, don't post that. I've always wanted a place like that." And I relate that to myself a whole lot, because I get discouraged and I start seeing all the negative things in life instead of the positives. And perception's a powerful thing. So many actions of our lives are determined by how we perceive things to be. How we perceive is based on what we think we hear or what we think we see. See, your perception of events, of words, and sometimes even people can be entirely wrong. But why? See, for me, my perception starts to become a little negative when I start to worry, when I start to freak out and get stressed. I get myself so stressed that it leads to anxiety, causing my perception of things to become a little blurry. Because I'm freaking out already. I'm stressed out. And everything in my life seems horrible at that moment, because I put myself in that situation. And I think this whole year, the sermons that I've given this year have related to something that's going on in my life at that moment of time. It's what I was studying to try to get out of what I currently was at, that I present to you guys. So see, stress, anxiety, nervousness, fretfulness, worry, call it whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, it's the same. It steals our life away. When you start to worry, when you start to freak out, when you get this anxiety, it's robbing away your life. And there are so many things that stalk us with the objective of taking away that joy and that peace and strength. But nothing does a better job at doing that than worry. And we actually invite worry in our lives sometimes. When you're having a good day, it's like, "Hold on, why am I not worrying?" And you start to freak out. It sounds crazy, right? But how many of us actually live that way? And you're like, "Oh, it's too good to be true. Something bad's going to happen today." And we constantly worry over these things. And I think it's crazy. So how can we live a life of peace and rest in a world full of things that bring worry to our hearts. Isaiah read Psalm 127, 1 and 2. And it reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up too late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." See, in these verses, we see that just as in the ancient world, modern man is consumed with building our lives. We work hard to build the houses we have, buy the houses we have. We busy ourselves with obtaining things which will provide some measure of protection for our families. We get up early, go to work, work hard all day, or sometimes hardly work, and then go to bed super late at night, and then you're tossing and turning until you finally fall asleep of exhaustion. And we sometimes work so hard or worry so much that it hurts. See, we're driven to do this because we worry that if we don't, then our families will not have enough, or our families will not be provided for. And that's simply not true. How can it be that we worry so much and we worry in vain? And see, I struggle with this so much, and I start to complain. And trust me, I complain a lot. It's starting to seem like it's a hobby or something. And I'm constantly complaining. And I started laughing. And just the other day, right after I listened to that message Irene sent me, because I always say, "Oh, I hate it when I call my mom, and all she does is throw all her problems at me and complains and complains." And it's like a slap to the face. It's like, "Dummy, that's what you do." Every time I talk to somebody, I feel like I'm complaining and complaining. And it makes me realize that it's sucking joy out of my life. But why? I was applying to a job with Fresno Pacific. And throughout this job application, because they're still kind of old school, they do like paper ones, says, "Write a brief statement on your relationship with Christ." And I was like, "Wow, I really want to work here." And I started writing, and I had typed it up on the PDF, like all my information, and I printed it, and I was handwriting this. And I was going on and on and on, and before I knew it, I was on the backside of this page, and I was bawling in my office. I was just crying. I had to start over because the paper was all wet. And it makes me so happy to see this relationship that I have with Christ. And I believe that that should make you happy. Matthew 6, 19 through 24 says, "Do not store up yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if the eyes are unhealthy, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And you cannot serve both God and money." See, somehow, unknown to us, we become drawn into this false idea of life. We're lured into believing that life is about accumulating things. Whether it's a title, whether it's some sort of education, whether it's just materialistic things. See, over the years, I came to believe that it is up to me to provide for my wife and I. I was believing a lie. Yes, God uses me to be a hardworking husband to provide for my wife and I, but ultimately He provides. It is not me that provides. And it's been getting me down this whole time. And it's like, "Mensel, slap yourself out of it. You're not that great." And the end result of this is that my treasure is here on earth when I start to think that way. And see, once this takes place in your life, It doesn't have stability. It doesn't focus. We start to replace God with our job. We start to replace God with those worries, that thing that you think you need to get accomplished. And you lose your equilibrium. Then the worry sets in. And as I was writing this, I was like, that's what happened to the Pharisees. They had lost sight of what was really important in life. I closed my office. And I was crying. I was like, have you lost sight of what's important in life? I pray to God that I don't lose sight of what my purpose in life is. That I look to Him for the happiness and the joy. And the Pharisees started becoming very negative. Instead of leading people to Christ, they started stealing from the flock. Their eyes had become evil and dark. Instead of letting God's light be shined, there was darkness in their souls. It was money rather than ministry to them. These teachers, these rabbis began to worry about having enough luxury, enough wealth, enough prestige. Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour of this life?" This is found in Matthew 6:25, and that was verses 25, 26, and 27, and I'm going to keep reading here. But I'm going to stop there because it says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to this life?" I've stayed up super late sometimes where my wife is asleep and I'm over there trying to search for a new job or search for a solution so I can be able to be this great provider. And all I've done is lost sleep. I've accomplished nothing by doing that. Continuing in verse 28, and it says, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" But how do we resist this temptation to worry? How do we say no to worry when the bills come in? To worry when you really hate your job? To worry when everything just starts to be against you? Later on, verse 31 says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. That is my purpose in life. It's not to have this super great title, to make all this money because I need to be a great provider. It's to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. It's to trust in God's faithfulness. It's to not doubt God. Because God is in control today, He's in control tomorrow, He's in control next week. He is always in control. No matter what you do, you're not in control. Be happy. Be happy with what God has given you. I was having a small discussion with my wife a few weeks ago. And she's over here laughing because She's always right, for the most part. And for the last 5 months, I've been a complete grouch. I've let things get to me. And it sucked joy out of my life. I've let worry get to me. And we're left with choices in life. Choices that always need to be made. Some will affect our lives and some will have no effect on our lives. However, those choices that we make today will always be remembered. And I have choices to make in my life today. Choices that can change my tomorrow. Choices that can impact life the way that I see it and the way that I live it today. But those choices can wait, because I've been sucked out of the joy so much that today I'm choosing to rejoice in God. And so shall you. Choose to rejoice in a king. Rejoice and be happy with the many blessings that God gives us. Rejoice that you have the ability to serve a living God. Rejoice that you've been saved by this amazing King. Rejoice. Slap yourself a couple times if you have to. Make yourself realize, I got it pretty darn good. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. A sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Isaiah 61:10-11. I delight in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I come to God today and ask him to renew the spirit within me so I can rejoice in him. Because me worrying or freaking out about tomorrow is only robbing away this joy in life that he's given me. And I was listening to the sermon that Irene sent me. It says, when you pray to God, be specific. And see, God isn't just so you dump all his problems on him. When you pray to him, yeah, be specific and say, God, I need $123.72 for this bill. Be specific. It's okay to do that with God. But when we pray, it shouldn't just be this time to dump all these issues that we have. It should be a time of praise. It should be a time to say, God, thank you for being such an amazing King. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for giving me my family that I have. Thank you for the relationship that I have with you. It's not a time to complain. Yes, it's okay to tell him what you need and how you need help, but it's a time to praise him. So I encourage you to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. I encourage you to trust in God's faithfulness. I encourage you to not doubt God. And I encourage you to be happy with what he's given you. Because all this worry and this anxiety that you might have, like I've been experiencing the last 5 months, does nothing to your life. And it's okay to get it to where it makes you going and not just be like, oh, I'm going to sit back and relax. But don't let it overcome your joy that you have with God. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. God bless you.